Hi there. Welcome to the New Life Live podcast. Steve here. And since 1988, New Life has been transforming lives one life at a time. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's most hard, difficult places. One way we do this is through the live program that we share with our listeners here on this podcast. Now, you'll get to listen to callers bringing us their challenges, and our panel of counselors and psychologists provide insight, which you will learn from too. Let's go to today's podcast episode.
Welcome, New Life listeners, families, friends, who's ever out there. Welcome. Welcome to this great place with these two wonderful people I get to share it with, Dr. Sherry Keffer.
Hey, great to be here with you both. Mm-hmm.
Dr. Alice Benton.
Howdy, howdy.
And Alice, I think I have a question for you.
Oh, okay.
So we are inundated with information through all of this technology. There's even this artificial intelligence apps that are coming out, you know, where you can ask them all kinds of – I mean, it's like we're living in a fast-forward, futuristic time right now. But here's what I know about us as human beings, and especially the condition of our soul. C.S. Lewis, in his book Screwtape Letters, has this line. It's from Uncle Screwtape to Woodworm. So it's like the master demon for the junior demon, right? And he tells him this. He says, "You must not forget what they as humans always tend to, and that what their bodies do affects their souls." Mm. And I would like to apply that to what our mind absorbs. So whether it be – it could be, you know, tons of different information out there. There's a lot of outrage out there. There's a lot of political outrage. What are we absorbing and how is it affecting us?
Yes. Well, I'd say our eyes and our ears are the entrance to the soul.
Mm-hmm.
And most of us allow our devices, our screens, to decide what enters into our soul. And we don't even tend to think about it. And putting filters on and making choices about the kind of content that we consume and that we allow our family to consume has a direct effect on the state of our souls.
Mm-hmm.
For a season, I was really into watching a zombie show, and it was grotesque and fascinating. And every week I looked forward to it. And the longer I watched it, the sicker I felt, the more anxious I felt, sleep disturbance. But the interest kept me hooked. Well, I realized this is actually sickening my soul, and I have to make the choice to stop watching it if I don't want to feel this way. But there was some social pressure in our friend group to continue to watch. It was embarrassing that I couldn't handle the content of it. But when I chose to cease consuming that kind of content, eventually I started to feel better. But the choice to guard what comes into our eyes and what floods into our ears is a high cost, a high price choice to make. But the state of our soul is what we're choosing, what we're deciding based on what we consume.
That's so good. That's really good.
No more zombie shows for
no
me.
No more zombie shows. Yes, yes. Yeah. Sherry, what do you think?
You know, sometimes I think the wheels are coming off the bus, and I just wake up in the morning and I just say, "Jesus, just come quickly."
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes that's the thing that just grounds me, is I just realize that he said it's going to get worse before he comes back. And I think sometimes we're so afraid of that worse that we just run away from God instead of realizing that, hey, we might be in those days. We might be in those last days. We might be living in the time like, you know, when the disciples were around before Jesus was crucified, it was cray-cray.
Yeah, for sure.
And this is the thing. They didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't know the story ahead. And I'm telling you, there's days that it feels cray-cray to me with the AI. And I'm like, wow, this is just, you know. But the Lord is with you.
Mm-hmm.
He will go before you, and he will come behind you. He is a waymaker God. He will surround you. And I just have to hold on to his covering in these days so that I can stay aligned and sane and
helpful. Well, and I think of the prayer in Ephesians that Paul prays for them, and that they would be rooted and grounded in love. And so we must intake that to display it. So we're going to be right back after this. We're going to go right to the phones.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live, and we're going to go straight to the phones. We're going to go to Jennifer in Anaheim, California, listening on the internet. Jennifer, are you there?
Hi.
Hi. What's going on today?
Well, first of all, it's an honor to speak with all of you. I know the Bible says to seek wise counsel, and you guys, I need some wise counsel. I can't afford therapy right now, so I just need a lifeline.
Yes.
I need a wise counsel with my financial situation. I need to be smart and savvy. I'm a single mom. My ex-husband became super wealthy, wanted a divorce, told me if I went through lawyers, he would hide all of his money, so I just did it because I have a son. Not too long ago, he said he would buy my son and I a house, and he would put it in my name. Hasn't been done yet. We bought a fixer-upper. He hasn't done any repairs. He promised he would. I feel like God gave me a gift last night because this information that came from my phone fell in my lap. I got a text message accidentally from him and the contractor with pictures from another woman's house that had, you know, a dollhouse in it. So obviously she's got kids and he's going to fix up her house. I barely have food to get through the month sometimes. And I'm to the point now where I don't want to talk to him anymore. I'm done with this story. I'm done feeling like I'm not a doormat. But just, you know, and the text message after that was wrong text. Nothing else after that, like, oh, I'm so sorry. Nothing.
Yeah.
And I didn't respond. I'm done with it, but I need to be smart. I would like to have this house in my name so that my son and I can have some sort of financial stability, but I want nothing to do with this man. Nothing. And I need some wise counsel.
Jennifer, is your son his son, your ex-husband's son?
Yes.
And is there shared custody?
Not really. Whatever, when it's convenient for his schedule, he'll pick him up.
But what about
lunch for 30 minutes?
What about child support?
He does give child support.
Okay. And you guys were married how long?
We were together for 12 years, married for three.
Okay. All right. So there's not spousal support or anything like that. So you're living as a single mom with your son is how old?
He's eight.
Living with a single mom, you know, you're living with your son who's eight as a single mom on spousal support. Are you working or not working?
I am trying to work. The career I had, I could no longer have after I had a child. So I'm just trying to find little jobs here and there. I can't really hold down a job because when he changes the schedule on me, nobody really wants an employee like that.
What do you mean? When he changes his schedule on you?
Well, I'll get a text message, for example, 2 hours before, you know, my son gets out of school. I can't make it today. Tell him that I'll see him in a couple weeks. But because he gives child support, he validates, he thinks that it's okay to treat us the way that we do because he's paying his child support bill.
My dear, you know, you're
it's
in...
Not enough.
This is going to probably feel... I so wish I could just hug you right now because I want to say this
I
and
hug
you. Well, I want to hug you and say this at the same time. It's hard to say this. You are a victim of abuse, like psychological abuse. He is not into you. And he's off with this other woman. Even I know he's your ex, but he's not really into you as a family. And so you are in kind of vacillating between victim, being a victim, but behaving in the way of a victim, and denial, like that somehow he's going to give you this stuff. He's not. He doesn't care. And that hurts to say to you. Like, it hurts so bad that I want to put my arms around you. But it's like a wake up to say,
girl. Figuring out how you can do exactly what you said is get your life going where you don't need him needs to happen, because you will never be at peace under his thumb, ever.
And that's what he wants.
Yep. And he has that. And so your life, though, you think you can't get a day job before your boy gets out of school because he's going to call and cancel. I'm like, stop the crazy. You have got to figure out what you need and then go get it. There are jobs out there that you could work, drop your little guy off. I know I have a lot of people in my world that are single mommies. And they have to figure out what they can do within the time frame so they can start making some money to even fix up the house you're in.
Jennifer, I think you have unintentionally surrendered your power and the authority over your life to your ex-husband. And so he gets to yank you and your son around whenever and however he wants to. And there's reasons why, but I think you have more power than you realize. And this probably takes getting some legal support behind you and going back to court to have this revisited, which might be terrifying to consider doing. When you think about even just a phone call to consult with an attorney about your legal options and your legal rights, what emotion comes up in you when you consider taking that powerful step?
Right now?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm so open to explore it.
Oh,
because
perfect.
I cannot do this anymore. I can't, but I don't even know where to start. And I am a little afraid. He told me he would hide all of his money, and he would, he's going to give me hell.
you know, he also bluffs, right? He's full of a lot of bluster and big words. I think he might be a bully. So it may be true that he does, he retaliates against you. He already is. He's already mistreating you. He's already pulling you around and lying to you. If you get in touch with an attorney, I think you will find out quickly that you have more rights and more power in this situation than you realize. And so I hope you'll take a little bit of time to just look around at attorneys in your area who are experienced divorce attorneys to find out what you can do legally about this.
And I want to tell you on that note, Dr. Ellis is right. There is Second Saturday is a online support that's free for attorneys that give up their time to meet with people just like you. SecondSaturday.com and then wife.org is another website that's free that helps women with financial like training and help and resources, like so that we can learn what we need to do with money. But those are two that I give to moms just like you that don't cost anything other than your time and investment to pursue them.
Absolutely. And just in your area, too, to seek counsel. There are either low fee or even pro bono services. And
I'm thinking about our new life coaching.
Yeah.
We've got coaches.
We got coaches. Stay on the line for that, you know. But because you're in our area, I know, you know, you can go to Hope Counseling Center at Hope International University. You can go to Journeys Counseling Ministry. All of them, those provide low or no cost counsel. That's great for, you know, working through this. Because one of the things that I want to emphasize here, going off what Alice and Sherry said, is that, you know, this is an abusive guy. And I can actually speak to this a little bit about my own experience. One of the most painful things in my childhood was when my dad said he would be somewhere and didn't show up. That's an abandonment wound. For the sake of your son, you cannot count on this guy. You can't let your son get set up over and over and over again, as much as it isn't within your control. And so again, to Sherry's point, let's not rely on him to do anything. We can definitely see if we can hold him to legal account to his you know, responsibilities and pursue that. But ultimately, Jennifer, when we're with abusive people in our life, what they tend to do is chip away at our value. And then we adopt their tactic. We chip away at our own value. I bet you have phenomenal earning potential in your life.
I can tell you're a learner because I'm listening to how fast you're writing.
Yes.
I mean, I'm sitting here going, Jennifer's a learner. She's like a scribe. You're like taking every word from us. People are looking for people like you to work for them because you're detailed. You care.
And you'll take action.
Yep.
Yeah. So, Jennifer, you have a lot going for you, and we want to support that, cheer you on. We're going to send you two books. We're going to send you Take Your Life Back, and we're going to send you Intimate Deception.
Okay.
Sherry's book is going to really help kind of wake you up to some really, really damaging and dangerous behavior and how that impacts you from what your ex-husband has done and lead you on that journey of restoration and truly getting your life back. So, Jennifer, thank you so, so much for calling in. Any way we can further help you, stay online. We will do that. And I think the really important thing about Jennifer's call is that there's other people, there's other women out there in similar situations that feel stuck and don't know that there's resources for them. And so that's what we're here for. Let's find the resources, get you connected so we can get out of these horrible situations.
We buy the lie that we have to tolerate or that there's no solution. So we're just stuck with this. And that is not true. God always makes a way out if we're willing to get help and then to take action on the advice that we receive.
And Sherry said something, I'll mention this real quickly, about like we get in these victim states, right? And a victim only has two other relationships in their life. And the relationships they have is a persecutor, because every victim needs a persecutor, or a rescuer. And by the way, every addiction I know to mankind is born out of a victim state. And the addictive device or substance is the rescuer. What's interesting about Jennifer's situation is she was looking at her persecutor as her rescuer. And I'm like, nope, that can't be the same thing. And the best way to get out of that victim state is to be a creator, is partnering with other people that can help you create something different that truly, as we say here, to get your life back. So again, thank you so much, Jennifer. We're going to go back to the phone. We are going to go to June listening in Charlotte, North Carolina on our app. June, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Talk to us. What's going on today?
Well, I'm calling and I'm trying to figure out how to shorten it a little bit. But long story short is my husband of almost 33 years asked for a divorce. I know it's my fault, a good bit of it, because I've complained and a lot of criticism, and I don't feel like I've given him the respect. I called back in November, you know, with one of the big things was that my love gift is time, and his is you know, he will do whatever I ask him to do, but he doesn't give me time. He works long hours, and at night he just wants sex, and usually I would just be so irritated, and I just would deny it. And as we're coming close to the end of soon to be empty nesters, you know, and so many times I've said, well, when the last one leaves, you know, I'm out. And I was saying it to frighten him, not saying it that's, I was hoping it would change him, but it didn't. It just didn't. So now at this point, he wants to leave. He's been willing to give it a little bit of time to try to work things out, but he was verbal that he doesn't love me.
That's really painful.
I'm doing things, but he says I'm doing too much.
So June, let me jump in here, because you hear the music. So what is the question for us that we can help you with today?
I'm just trying to figure out what I should do. I really would like to, how I could go about, you know, winning his love back.
Yeah. Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go to a break here. We're going to help you when we get back. And if you need help out there, check out our website, www.newlife.com. All of our resources are there, and we can help you out with whatever your situation is.
Mm-hmm.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live, and we are talking with June in Charlotte, North Carolina. June, you've been in a really tough situation, a heartbreaking situation. And I was, as we went to the break, we were talking about, Alice said, June just did a phenomenal job talking about what you have struggled with, of a pattern of complaint and criticism. And I was just thinking, here's a guy who is kind of, in a lot of ways, using you for sex, absent at work, and you're trying to protest your way into getting him back, including through the threat of divorce. And he ended up just taking you up on it. Yeah. Sherry, what do you think?
I think he's right. I think Chris is right. He was sharing a little bit at the break, and I was sitting here formulating my thoughts, right? Because that's what we do once we hear your heart. I'm going to start with telling you what we're going to send you today is my book, Intimate Deception, Healing the Wounds of Sexual Betrayal. I think it's devastating, June, how many women like yourself take the bad rap for something we don't know. Take the bad rap for something that's been hidden. It's like your body knows. Your body knows when he comes home and he's not giving you time. He hasn't been giving you time, but he wants to have sex. You feel used. It's like you know something's not right, but you just don't know what's wrong. And I'd probably hang my license right now on the line with you that I've had for 22 years and say, you know what, June, I think your husband's had an ongoing porn addiction. And I think his fantasy world, he's been using you to fulfill that. And you've been critical. You've been complaining because you're not getting relationship. You're not getting him. You're not getting his intimacy. You're not getting his integrity. And even our body knows that stuff. And then we throw out comments like, well, when the last one leaves, I'm out. Well, he's already been out. Mm. He's out because he's using porn and your body knows it. But you just may not have seen the evidence. And so I know you're fighting for him, but I don't think he's sober. Mm-hmm. That's just my gut. That's my hunch. That's my attempt at trying to figure out your story problem right now. What do you think?
I mean, I don't know. I've never seen anything, I've never seen anything like that, so I don't know.
Have you looked? Have you looked at the phone? His phone? Does he leave his phone out? Do you look at the computer? Or have you ever done a truth-seeking mission to try to go deeper into what might be going on? Or is he pretty private with that? Does he have passwords that you can't get into his devices?
Well, I never really tried. If I needed to get in his phone, I could. I've checked to see, well, was he having an affair? Just looking, to see if anything had texted before, but never really looking at that part. Right now, I'd like restoration of the marriage, even if that were the case. He says he's a believer.
But you know where you are right now? I want restoration of the marriage. And he's told me he doesn't love me. You're somewhat in denial of where your marriage is at. It's bad. And I think that denial for you and those of us that are listening, I think we stay in that numb denial place, the fantasy, the spiritualizing, because we don't want to have to address or look or see what's going on that's eroding your marriage. I don't know. Dr. Alice may have a different take on this, but because we all have different thoughts, right? And mm-hmm. I want you to get what you need here. But
You can't make somebody love you if they are hooked on porn or if they already have another relationship on mm-hmm. the side.
June, I also wonder if your husband has perhaps low emotional tolerance or low emotional intelligence. He may not have learned the skills in his family of origin of how to develop emotional intimacy. So he probably feels safe at work. Maybe he's a very productive man. Maybe he earns well, and that's a big part of his identity. So given that you know about yourself that you've been a harsh critic of his, even though you've had reason to be a harsh critic, it may have been frightening to try to engage with you. Maybe you're intimidating to him. And because you don't have power over how he handles this, but you do have power over what you do about your own character, looking at and getting into work to improve the way you communicate your needs and your loneliness and your fears, rather than going a harsh critical route, we have to learn how to let our needs be known in a soft, kind, but also firm way. And so getting into your own individual therapy and showing him that you take the marriage so seriously that you want to work on yourself so that you can do your part to improve this situation, that you have hope for the marriage still, that may soften him and it may make it more attractive for him to get into his own work and to do the necessary character change so that there's a possibility for your marriage. It's worth a shot.
Well, and June, we do hope that you found some hope here. You know, definitely get into Sherry's book. There's something going on here that's not right. There's a secret. There's some sort of secret here going on. And so we need to figure out what that is. But you need to protect your heart. As Alice said, keep working on you the best you can.
So you might want to send or take your life back.
Absolutely. So
as well.
Yes. We'll be back right after this.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Club New Life supporters who give a monthly donation because they want to continue to offer help and hope in these very, very difficult places. To find out more about Club New Life, you can go to our website, newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, if you're new to us, we drop an episode every weekday. We would love it if you would rate or write a review, which helps more people discover help and hope and helps us share wisdom with as many people as possible. Now let's listen to our counselors as they help people walk through life's hardest places.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live, and I want to share something that a lot of our listeners know about that is this amazing, amazing thing, and that is a matching gift. And we hear a lot about matching gifts, and so we can kind of become sort of anesthetized or numb to them, but I don't want us to do that. Everything you give automatically doubles. And this is that opportunity to double down by just simply contributing. And if you contribute in the month of June, we send you Dr. David Stoop's book, Living Strong, Finishing Well. Just full of just, it's kind of his amazing, amazing swan song of wisdom and counsel and life that the incredible life of Dave Stoop had to offer with the rest of us. But here's what one listener wrote about our radio program. Says, I'm 74 and have learned so much from you. For those, including myself, who can't afford professional Christian counseling, you are a gift from God, a beam of love and hope, of Christ-centered truth to those who desperately need inner healing. And for us, we can't hear anything more complimentary mm-hmm. and life-giving for us. But it is your financial partnership that makes all of this happen. And so please consider, you know, donate, match that gift, sitting on some, maybe you got a tax return, whatever it may be, that's for you to decide. But what I want you to do, if you benefit from this or know other people that benefit from our ministry here, please financially partner with that, with us. And with that, we're going to go to Colette in Shreveport, Louisiana, listening on WFIL. Colette, are you there?
Yes.
All right. Well, tell us what's going on.
Well, I'm trying to ask if you offer coaching for a digital anime addiction that is consuming my adult 24-year-old son, who is autistic. He has average daily functioning skills, but he's extremely immature, and doctors have told me to cut off access to electronics, so I've done that in my home. Wow. But he needs some sort of accountability by someone outside of me.
Mm-hmm. Well, very simply put, the answer is yes. Mm-hmm. And I think that this actually is a really important time of life. Your son is dealing with some extra, I'll say, challenges in his life that not are unique to him, but that can be unique to situations. For instance, his disability. But with that said, that so many people in this age range that I find, and certainly in our counseling practice, that are really, really, really struggling to figure out how to make it in the world. And there could be some deeper things going on that require counseling, but a lot of them just need some really, really solid coaching. And our New Life Coaching Network is full of coaches that could potentially help them with that. But Colette, you mentioned that, he's just really struggling with kind of falling into these patterns of escapism, is what I'll call it, into his potential screen addiction. So, So
how does he get the screen if it's not at home?
He will. I've been helping him get through community college, and I got him a little job in a computer lab where he would. It's something really simple, where he just has to sign students in, and he would spend every minute up there at school. He would even leave, and he'll take a bus out to the college, but he would, get there at 8 in the morning when he has a class at noon, and just be every minute he wasn't in class. He's on those computers.
So guess what? Do you think that's the best job for your boy?
Well, and so that's all done. I mean, we've stopped that.
Okay, good.
He got his associate's degree, and we're done. But now he will leave the house and say he's going to the library to apply for jobs, and he will go to a Walmart or a Barnes & Noble or a Target and use their laptops.
Wow.
And I have actually gone up and down the street looking for him sometimes because he loses track of time, or like I said, please just be home by dark. And he says, Mom, I know it's 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock, and I know I should, but I just don't do it. It's the compulsion.
Yeah, it's an addiction. Mm-hmm. He's really addicted.
That he'll actually spend the night on the street so he can be there again at 6 in the morning. It's horrible because we've never, we always had a central computer station. It was the schools that took off their blocks off of YouTube that got him into this. And I even wanted him banned from going to the library. School, they want those autistic kids in the library so they're not, bothering anyone else. And they think that that's a good place of safety for the kid instead of giving them something social. So that is where it started, and then it just has grown. And anime, the things I've seen, they're so vulgar. They're so sexualized. Part is mined and defined. And this is just reading the digital cartoons. It's like a comic book.
Yeah, it is.
But he will do it for 10, 15 hours.
Have you thought of inpatient for him?
Multiple times. And he's been over 6 times in different hospitals.
Oh, my goodness.
But the world only addresses, they put him in groups with drug addicts and nothing against that. But, for someone who's not as nice as him, that's too much. And they'll even these, people with other addictions will sit there and go, you shouldn't be here because no one thinks that's a big deal.
Yep, the dilemma.
Colette, will you tell us about his dad and how active his dad has been in trying to help with this?
Not. Dad is also on the spectrum. Also, Dad, I mean, the reason we're divorced because I watched him deteriorate from his hidden secret porn addictions. Yep. And when I discovered them, he just deteriorated more. And that verse that says that the Lord will give you over to the enemy, you know, to devour you. I mean, I watched him just lose his mind because just what porn does to a man's mind. He walked off his job, started to do bizarre things.
Colette, you have been a single mom to your son, and you've been up against two people's screen addiction and pornographic addiction. Will you tell us about the support that you are getting? Because this is terrifying and so overwhelming, and a lot of your son's behavior is out of your control. What kind of support are you receiving?
Well, thank goodness, as a young person, I found the Lord in my 20s, and I'm just very involved in, like, my church and read my Bible, and I stand on the Word, and I all things work for good, and God gave me this son, and I've got this battle to fight for him, with him. And
Colette, I'm so glad you have that spiritual strength, and I hear some tears even coming into your voice as you're talking about it, and I wonder if you've ever gotten 12-step support and Al-Anon support, even though it's a screen addiction that your son and your husband were dealing with.
Yes, I did Al-Anon for a couple of years, and I have several books. In fact, I've tried to explain to him after high school, when it got worse, because, you know, at school, he's only on the computers for an hour, but after school, you know, when we had him going to college or he had time, you know, he had more time.
What's the likelihood that your boy is looking at porn?
I pray it's not. I mean, because I've searched his stuff. Like, every now and then he'll get a phone, or like he's actually stolen money out of my purse and then bought a cheap phone like at Walmart, and then I'll check his screen.
But on the computers when he's away from you, do you know how easy it is to get it? I can get it in 2 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
I can get it in 2 seconds on any device.
I know that, and
I'm just wondering if that might be more of an inpatient.
Yes,
like that would specialize in porn addiction.
But even that, there's nothing.
Well, Colette, hear me out.
Of all the times he's been hot-spot.
Hold on, hear me out for a second, okay?
Sure.
Your son is in a life-threatening situation. You may not know it right now or feel it, but it's there. That type of behavior around addiction is on the very severe end. And to Sherry's point, it needs high, high levels of intervention. There are places. I want you to check out Capstone, which is a treatment center that is designed for him, just north of you in Arkansas.
That's perfect.
And so Capstone Treatment in Arkansas.
They give boys dogs, and they start working on addiction. It's a longer treatment. That would be perfect.
And I want you to start there. We're going to send you a copy of Take Your Life Back, as well as the Life Recovery Bible. But go to that resource, and if they can't, you know, they're very, very well connected, and they can guide you in the right direction. Because, again, this is a really, really tough situation. So, Colette, thank you so much for calling in today, and we'll be back right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live, and we're going to go straight...
Well, I got to insert something quickly.
Oh, yeah, sorry, go for it. Yes, absolutely, Alice.
Because when we hear, like we did from Colette, that an adult child is starting to steal from a parent and is sleeping out on the street, and we were talking about higher levels of intervention being necessary, whether that's inpatient treatment or whether that's calling the police when thefts are beginning to happen, because bringing in authority figures like that brings a power into the situation that perhaps a parent no longer has over an adult child. But if your child is disabled, Adult Protective Services can also be called to come in with a social worker to do an evaluation, to do a higher level intervention. So please also consider those options.
I really think that's important, Alice, is that we got to really utilize the resources available to us. And sometimes we just don't know what they are. Mm. And a lot of times that happens in our fear, is that fear can blind us and make us pretty narrow visioned in being able to see what's out there. So, yeah, thank you for that. We're going to go to Kathy listening in Dallas, Texas on KWRD. Kathy, are you there?
I am.
All right. Well, tell us what's going on today.
So I'm calling because I'm an adult now, but in my teenage years, I had a couple of encounters with child, I guess you can call molestation. And I have a two-parent household, and at the time, I did mention these things to my parents, and they kind of brushed me off like, you know, I was just promiscuous and that kind of thing. Mm. Well, fast forward a couple of years ago, my father was put into prison for the same exact thing that wow. happened with me. And it wasn't me personally, nobody that was related to us or anything like that, but it just kind of stirred up some more emotions because I had suppressed it and let it go. I kind of moved on with my family. And then, you know, these emotions start coming up when he was convicted and put into prison. Well, he's supposed to come home in the next couple of months. And I noticed that here lately, every time I think about him coming home, I just start to get this anxiety. And I'm just trying to figure out what steps I need to take. I would like to have a decent relationship with him. Our relationship was decent before he went in. I'd like to maintain that. I haven't spoken with him much other than a couple of letters while he's been in prison, mm-hmm. but I know when he comes home, it's going to be a little different, and so I'm just trying to prepare myself and take the right steps so that I can, you know, just be okay when he gets back.
Kathy, do you have children, and if so, how old are they?
I do. I have a couple of teenagers. I have 18-year-olds, a 23-year-old, and an 11-year-old.
And what a story you're telling us, and what nightmares you and your family have lived through, both with a separate molestation. I think you were abused as a child, and your father was abusing another child outside of your family. Oh, right. I'm just trying to wrap my head right. around what you have been through. And I have to ask a tough question, which is, you say you had a decent relationship with your father. And I could imagine mm-hmm. that perhaps on the surface it was decent. And yet I also hear yeah. that your parents dismissed the abuse you were going through and said that you were being sexually active. They turned the accusation onto you instead. So I'm worried about how clear your vision is with really the state of things with your father, because I feel protective of you. And so mm-hmm. I don't want you to put the label mm-hmm. of decent on it when this is actually a frightening yeah. relationship. Yeah. How are you reacting to what I'm saying?
Yeah. That makes sense. It does. I haven't thought about it like that. I just kind of let it, I just kind of suppressed it and just let it go.
Mm-hmm. You know what that's called?
No.
It's called denial.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually denial and probably some dissociation, mm-hmm. Kathy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what's waking up in you, are dissociated yeah. pockets of pain around your own molest. And mm-hmm. those dissociated pockets of pain are starting to feel some fear that your dad, who's a child molester, is getting out. But I think you're yeah. also feeling a pull to restore with him,
mm-hmm.
even though you have a couple of minors at home.
Right.
Your kids are vulnerable.
Yeah.
And that's what Alice, she's so fighting for your heart right now. It's so beautiful to watch. Because if you don't have a clear path or vision, as Dr. Alice said, about your own need to protect, you may put your own children in harm's way.
Hmm.
It happens all the time. Yeah. And that's why it continues to go down a family line, is the person that was experienced painfully molestation, they have a parent who is sexually active or a molester, and then they try to repair the bridge, and then unbeknownst to them, some weeks or months down the road, their child gets molested because he's out. That doesn't mean he's healthy. It just means he's out.
Right. Right. Yeah.
And so, and part of that too, Kathy, is to understand that your parents were active participants in the harm that was caused to you.
Yeah.
They weren't passive here. They participated in the molestation by covering it up and then gaslighting you and putting it on you. Mm-hmm. That's a serious trauma there.
That's tough to hear, but yes, that is right.
Yeah, and I know, and that's part of what Cheryl was talking about waking up to it. And part of what Alice is doing is fighting for your heart, because that part of you that's damaged definitely needs the care and healing to move through this. And as your that desire in us, it's sort of like this Stockholm thing, which is you fall in love with your abuser. It tends to be a lot stronger with our parents because they're in us and we love them and we want to be close to them and we want to believe in the best of them. But also if they are dangerous, unhealthy people, we need to learn to live in separation from them. And that's hard work. That's really hard
work. Are you seeing someone, Kathy, like Alice, Chris, or myself? Are you in ongoing weekly therapy yourself, my dear?
No.
Okay. Would you be willing to commit to the three of us for your 11-year-old's sake, for your minors, that you will do that?
Yeah, I'll do that. I've thought about it.
Yeah, we're on your team. All three of us are voting, and we're all holding a sign that says yes, please.
And what that counselor, Kathy, that counselor will be able to help you access healing for what you've gone through, and also will help fine tune your radar to be able to know if your father is becoming a safe person, because there is potential. There's always potential for reconciliation with someone who's remorseful, who's taking responsibility, and who shows evidence of change and evidence of getting professional help so that he becomes a safe man. But please don't turn off your radar. Stay tuned to the fear and the anxiety you're feeling, because it's a system that's saying this man has not yet shown himself to be safe.
Absolutely. And so, Kathy, we're going to send you a copy of Healing as a Choice. Thank you so, so much for calling in today.
And stay on the line, and we'll get you hooked into one of our counselors in your area.
For sure. Thank you for being with us today, sharing time together with us today. Again, all of our resources available online, www.newlife.com. And we will see you on our next show.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope something you heard will help you live in freedom today. If this content was helpful for you, we would love it if you'd take a minute, leave us a review, post about it, and rate it. Remember, we have resources and workshops online for you as you continue your journey. Go to newlife.com and find out more information. And thank you for being part of the New Life community. We know that God desires all of us to live a life of wholeness and healing. And we're so glad that you're here.